many of the WASPs are still living and part of your program?
83 WASPs. 1,074 WASPs graduated at Avenger Field. 83 are still with us. And the Saturday before Memorial Day, our museum has homecoming. Uh-huh. When the WASP had their Order of Fifanella, they had annual reunions. Uh-huh. But now that their Order of Fifanella has disbanded, the uh-huh. WASP Museum has homecoming every year. And the WASP are able to come back, visit with their friends, see the museum, see the runways where they trained, reconnect, show your family, your grandchildren, your nieces and nephews where you trained. And on May the 27th of this past year, 11 WASP out of the 83 surviving came back to Avenger Field. Jane and her family were part of that wonderful celebration.
Jane, what is that like? What was this like for you in May to come back with your family and introduce in person, you know, your members of your family to other WASPs and to this experience?
Well, I've been doing it now for about 5 years. I started at some of the reunion we had in Dallas, and they brought in some pilots to take us to fly us from a field outside Dallas to Sweetwater. And after that, I thought I have to start going to these every year. So I have four girls, and I've tried to take each one of them there to see what Sweetwater was and to hear the story, and they've all been very interested in it now too.
What was their reaction when they first get to Sweetwater with you and you start telling stories about
we never heard all of this before because you know there for so many years the WASPs just went back home and did their normal jobs that they had, and a lot of them were teachers, and everybody got involved in civilian life. And like my girls, they said, we never knew all this about you, but now they're finding out. I said, that's it. The longer I live, the more they find out about me.
Terry, the Heritage, your Heritage Foundation, what's your role? Your mission? Yeah, your mission.
Well, to kind of piggyback on what Carol said earlier about preserving the legacy of the WASP through the museum, we are organized to educate people on aspects of aviation that is uniquely American. And the WASP program is truly an American experience that needs to be preserved, honored, and to spread the word. The more people that know what these amazing women did for our country, the better. Okay, so our mission through this airplane, for example, is to honor the legacy of Jane and all of her sister WASP. The museum flying the airplane to Oshkosh and different events, it's a living history example of what these women did for us. And we think it's vitally important to preserve this. It's something that can't be allowed to pass away with time. Everybody needs to know what happened at this time.
And how effective are you now at being able to document all of this? How challenging is that to document this history and get it down in writing, find logs, tell the stories of what happened during those couple of years?
Well, the WASP program in particular was close to home for us because in Minnesota, where I'm from, we had a WASP, Betty Strofus, who everybody knows, and she's been here many times. And she was our inspiration. So we learned a lot about the WASP program directly through Betty Strofus. And two of our principals in the foundation had visited the WASP Museum and noticed that they didn't have any airplanes of their own that the women flew during the war. So we decided that we wanted to take on a project of restoring a BT-13 because we had extensive experience in that airplane before. But we wanted to provide the museum with an airplane that could be a tangible example of the WASP program. So we think we've done a fairly decent job, and
it's a beautiful plane.
We put a lot of effort into the restoration to with a sense of pride and quality workmanship, because we're representing these women. We wanted this to be a shining example of them. So it was a labor of love for our group, and it's all volunteers. And nobody, I mean, everybody just pitches in and does their best on behalf of the WASP. So right. we're very happy.
Well, the lead of the Restora team, Ingmar, would you raise your hand, please? Uh-huh. Ingmar Holm. Can we get a microphone over to Ingmar? Yeah. Oh, you got it. Oh, you're ahead of the game. Ingmar, tell us about the process of this. How complicated was the process of getting the people and making this happen?
Well, I had worked on VTs before, so I had a knowledge of how they go together, but we found a VT on the field that was really in bad shape, so it took a lot of work to get this thing to the condition we wanted in.
But how did you come to become a restorer? What's your background that allows you to do this?
Well, I guess as a kid I always wanted to fly. I start flying with the Luscombe right out of high school, and right along I've been working on different airplanes. And I got into a group, we were working on old warbirds, the BT-13 and Harvard and a few other airplanes. So it's been a labor of love, I guess, all along for me. And we got this group together, and we just went to work.
Now, how did you do that? What was the team you got together? Where do you find these people?
Well, I don't know. We were working on a glider before, a CG-4 glider, and people came out to look at that, and we told them we need some help. And we got quite a few people that wanted to volunteer. We got some really nice people that have spent all this time, finished a glider, and then we started on this project. This was a major project to get it done.
And where was this physically, geographically? Where were you doing this?
This is at the Anoka County Airport, which is just north of Minneapolis.
So not far from here.
No.
And how long did it take you?
5 years.
My gosh. And what's the reaction from all of your colleagues when you finish this airplane? What does it mean to all of you to see this plane the way it is now? And you made it this way. So.
Well, yes, we all made it this way. Yes, all of our group are really excited to see it flying. That was the ultimate, to see it go. And yes, we still have the group, and we still want to continue on something else. We are not done.
Terry, do you have another project in mind for these?
We do. We've actually already started on a PT-19, which Jane mentioned that you flew. So that's in the progress. And we just never know. We're open to opportunities, and if something kind of lights a fire within us, we'll pursue it. One other thing I wanted to add, what Ingmar said, our group of volunteers, we estimate that collectively over our group, over the 5-year period, they contributed over 20,000 hours of volunteer time to bring this about. And it has been a labor of love. You know, everybody just believes in the mission and what we wanted to do for the WASP, and whatever needed to be done, how dirty, it didn't matter. Everybody just pitched in, and we have the best group of guys you can possibly imagine to work with. It's just an honor to work with them.
So now that you have this airplane, Carol and Terry, to what extent does this expand on the opportunities you have to continue your mission and get the word out to more people about this WASP experience?
Well, our museum has a Stearman PT-17, we have a PT-19, and this will be our third of the five trainers. That there were different models of each of these aircraft at Avenger Field, but those three plus an AT-6, and we have the skeleton of a body that's capable of being restored of a UC-78. So eventually we want to have all five of these different airplanes in our museum that are airworthy, so that we can our museum pilot, is also on our board of directors, and mm-hmm. he's made it possible for our aircraft to be able to move about the country. So mm-hmm. people are able to see them. And, you know, it's one thing to look at a photograph of an airplane, but it's another to hear the sound, to see it, to see what you have to go through even to crawl into the cockpit. These women had parachutes. They were crawling up the wing. I mean, they didn't have a stepladder or an escalator. I mean, to see what it took.
And for
these
Jane,
women,
who had to hang from a bar
exactly,
to get tall enough.
Exactly. So when you see people actually interacting in this aircraft, in these aircraft, it gives you such a different perspective on what you went through when you were flying in service to our country. And you did it every day, except three or four
no
times
no problem
a
getting
day.
Up at that time, but now it's a little problem.
You don't jump up on the wing anymore?
No. They put a little ladder, and I climb up, and then they push me in.